In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's a joy to be back together with you. I feel like I've been gone for a while. I was on pilgrimage for a while with my two sons. It was a great blessing and a great joy. Every pilgrimage is a great joy when it's undertaken. And pilgrimage is easy now. In the old days, people walked, they crawled, they walked for weeks, months. To go to the Holy Land was to give a new name. If you were from Greece or Serbia or Romania and you went to the Holy Land, you were given your name, your last name was changed to Hajj. So if your last name was Nikolaos, you were called Haji Nikolaos. Because it was so amazing and difficult, and really, it could endanger your life to go on pilgrimage. And now we fly places, right? And it's much, much easier, and maybe all the more important because it is easier for us to go to monasteries, especially in the holy places. And I was blessed the first part of our trip to be on Mount Athos, and I'm hoping to gather my thoughts and my pictures and hopefully do a presentation on one of the Wednesday nights about all the elders and the saints we venerated in all those places. But today I wanted to share something with you that I hope is applicable to the gospel. It's the parable of the sower. We've heard it many times if we read the gospels, hopefully we do. Or if you heard it for the first time, our Lord uses very simple imagery because the spiritual life shouldn't be complicated. The Lord wants us to be saved. One beautiful elder on Mount Athos, Yerena Elder Makarios, who we're very close to now, he has so much love. So much love. He said, we've complicated things. Christ came to save us, to give us life, to resurrect us, and to teach us how to love. And by loving people and by prayer, we learn how to be resurrected, is what he said. And so the seed of the gospel, the seed of believing in Jesus Christ and believing in the ark of salvation, the Orthodox Church, believing that, if you're here, you want that, hopefully. But the question is, it's planted in a lot of hearts, but some people leave. They don't make spiritual progress. They don't have love. They don't grow. Why? The same seed is cast by the Lord. God doesn't love some people more than other people. Don't believe that for a second. He is love. But the question is, what kind of soil does the seed fall on? And we heard today, does it fall on rocky soil? Our hearts are hard and rocky and unloving. Then it can't grow. Or is it growing on some decent soil, but it has competition from lots of worldly things, and those worldly things grow faster, and they choke the light out, so that spiritual things can't grow, and we think we're close to God, and we try, and then we get suffocated, and our hearts die, and we fall away from the Lord often. Right? Or it goes quickly for a while. Yes, we're being serious, we're praying, we're growing, and then it dies because the roots are shallow, as we all are shallow. And then we hear that beautiful, that goes into good dirt, and it plants deep roots, and it gives fruit 100-fold. And that's what we're after. And the question should always be, how can I till the soil of my heart so that when I read the gospel every day, when I go to church, when I go to confession, when I live this life, it's not for naught. It does change me. And the kingdom of God is close to me. I wanted to share with you one of the most moving experiences of our pilgrimage. Mount Athos was the first part in Greece. Exhausting. It was still hot there. We were walking quite a bit and not eating a lot, which is very Athenite. And my boys, I was proud of them. I was with two of their priests and two of their pious laymen. And we came one day, we were walking a long walk from the Skeet all the way to the monastery of Eviron. A very long walk, especially if you're out of shape, like me. And so we went, and one of the highlights was, we had a friend who's a monk, beautiful man, who's an American from Tennessee, who speaks Greek, and he's a hermit monk there, and a wonderful man. And he took us around, and we walked by this little keli. A keli is a small little house where a couple monks live. And there's a famous monk there. And woe to those monks who become famous, but they are. Father Gabriel. And I had the blessing to meet him a few years ago. He's been on the Holy Mountain for years and years. A spiritual son of Elder St. Paisios. And a great man of incredible prayer. And bravery. And when we met him as priest a few years ago, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. But he has brain cancer and he's very sick. And he went back to Thessaloniki and he gets surgery. To give you an idea, a few years ago he went back, and in the time he was gone for a week or two in Thessaloniki, 20,000 people waited to talk to him. 20,000 people came to get his blessing. He couldn't turn them away. And after 2018, he had his final brain surgery and said, you know what, I'm not leaving the Holy Mountain anymore. I'll just die here in the Holy Mountain. And so we were amazed to find out, and he had not been receiving visitors for a long time. And he had just again that week started receiving visitors, and we had 5 minutes until he stopped. And so we hurried down, came down this path to this very, very, not very nice place in the middle of this beautiful little field in the mountain. And it's very humble. And they said, he's almost done. He's really tired. Please, we want to see the elder. So we go in. We're there. We're waiting with another family who's sick. And they're seeing the elder. We can't see him. We can just hear him. And then we come in, the priest, we go over and get his blessing. And I never want to forget that moment of sitting there with me and with my sons and the priests. And we walk in. It's a very interesting sight. It is so hot and stuffy. There's no electricity. There's no fan. It is disgustingly miserable. And this elder is laying on the bed because of his brain cancer. And he's got growths on his head. And he's so miserable. And it's like all light. All light emanates from him. And joy. And he's just reading something. And then without asking, we took his blessing and he starts preaching to us, teaching us all, the priests and the kids and all of us. And initially Benjamin goes, oh, he's reading something to us. That's what I thought too. He's reading off of a script. But very quickly I saw what he was reading. No, he has stacks of thousands and thousands of names of the living and the departed, and he never stops praying for people. So the whole time he's laying there in agony, sweating, miserable, he's constantly praying for the living and the departed while he's also teaching us. And not just giving like a teaching he memorized and gives to everybody. Each person he gives a different teaching. It's like walking and chewing gum at the same time. It was amazing to be around. Truly amazing. And it was one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. And so I braced myself for, we can't miss this teaching. Because if you know, if you're on Holy People, what happens is your mind blanks out later. And so as he started to talk, all the priests like got some pens and started scribbling furiously. And between us all, we were able to save some of the notes from this experience. And I want to share them with you. And he called these. He said, these are the keys to the kingdom I'm giving you, priests, to give to your people. How beautiful and how life-giving and very simple. I want to share them with you and hope that we can gain from them. The first thing he did was he greeted us. And the first thing he said with tears is, may we all find paradise together. May we all walk in, dear ones, and be with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the bosom of Christ. May we be saved. There was no hi and kind of nonsense and niceties. Just right to the point. Salvation. And then he said, here are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. First, regular confession. Regular confession. And he said, pure confession. Honest. So that means we have a spiritual father. And that means that we go to confession often. What does that look like? Every month, if you let more than 2 months go by, then you forget things and you get, so people say, oh, once a year, four times a year. That's the minimum. These are the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, frequent confession and pure confession to your spiritual father. So let's all attend to that, right? And especially in fasting times, but especially if we all said we're going to go every month or two, every month we're going to go to confession. Maybe you've never gone. Come. Maybe you go once a year. Come more. Right? In these next couple weeks, I'm asking all of you to hear this word of this elder and come to a confession to Father Paul or myself and renew your soul. First key to the kingdom of heaven. Two, being regular in the services, he said. We have to be in the house of God. Yes, our homes should be churches too. We should have icons and incense and our cars should have icons. We should be with Christ everywhere. But this church and the new church we're building, these are oases, right? Oases for our souls. And we can't grow if we're not in them. So he said, coming to liturgy every Sunday, coming to Vespers on Saturday night. It's a beautiful turnout today. It should be the same last night. So I'm encouraging all of you, not me, this elder who is with light, who wants you to be in divine light. He's telling us how to do it. Let's listen. Let's confess regularly. And let's go to the services. Saturday night Vespers, I challenge all of you to start doing that more. And coming. And Sunday morning, the orthros and the liturgy. And then services in the week as you can. If you work, of course you can't. But as you can, the more you're in the house of God, the closer you'll be to paradise, he said. One, regular confession. Second key to the kingdom, regular in the services. And also, the point was made, be on time for the services. When the priest begins the liturgy, he says, blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're blessing a kingdom. We're entering a kingdom. And we're late. God forgive us. We're late to the kingdom of heaven. When you're dying, you're not going to want to be late. Right? We're not late for football games. We're not late for work or we're in trouble. So out of love for Christ, be early. early is on time, and not to like please me or anybody else, or to keep up with the Joneses, no one looks at you, so that you can enter the kingdom of God. If you want to enter paradise, you don't want to be late for heaven when you die. Don't be late for heaven when you're alive here in the church. Third thing he said, every Christian, practice the Jesus prayer. Simple words, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. There's different versions of it. That's the simplest ancient version. Kyrie Jesu Christe, eleison me. He said, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Any language, whatever that's your first language, he says this prayer. And Father Paul, we can teach you this prayer. Right? I've learned from the monks and my spiritual father's a monastic, and it's for all people, not just for monks. People think, oh, Jesus prayer is just for monastics or fundamentalists. They're wrong. This elder who wants to save us says it's for all Christians. Men, women, children, moms, singles, families, every. This prayer has more power than all, than thousands of prayers in the prayer book said. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And he always says it happens. And he's constantly saying it in his heart. Many monks and lay people, for that matter, never stop saying the Jesus prayer. You can do it. How can I do that, Father? I'm busy. When you're in the car, turn the radio off, say the Jesus prayer. When you're doing laundry, say the Jesus prayer. When you're walking, taking the bus, do the Jesus prayer. Ask your spiritual father, me or Father Paul, about starting to say the Jesus prayer in a set time in the morning when you get up. It will change your whole life. I'm asking each of you to meet with one of us and get a prayer rule which includes not just the prayer book at the beginning of time with the Jesus prayer in your heart, and your life will change. And you know what he said? His exact words were this. Why say this prayer, someone said. Every time you say this prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. The Lord, he guarantees the Lord mystically answers the prayer and you are forgiven every single moment. Beautiful. The fourth key to the kingdom of heaven, he said, fasting, which many of us are bad at. I realize traveling around the holy countries, we eat like kings and queens. The idea of being able to eat as much as you want, whenever you want, is so foreign to the history of the world. We were guests in these places, and they're very poor compared to us, and they fed us like kings. Nevertheless, they don't eat that way, right? They eat simply and humbly, and they follow the life of the church. And so the elder told us, fast according to the rules of the church. What does that mean? Wednesday and Friday we fast. We don't eat meat or dairy products, right? We abstain from alcohol, those kind of things. We eat less, we pray more. How many of us actually keep this with love? He said if a person does this, it is one of the great keys to the kingdom of heaven. Honoring it, it controls your body, it makes prayer easier. And here's what he said, by the way. People often don't fast because they say, oh, it'll make me sick. A lot of modern science, that makes me sick. He says the opposite is true. He said many, many people, they get sick and they suffer illness because they refuse to fast. And God allows these microorganisms and they're sicker. He's seen thousands and ten thousands of people who come to him for healing. And the prescription is often fast. And they say, no, we can't fast. He says, you'll fast Wednesday and Friday and you'll be fine. And they're healed by obedience to the life in Christ and by the ancient church. So fasting, we can all do that, right? Five, just a little bit. This is so beautiful. He said, mikro, just a little bit from the Holy Scriptures every day. Not a lot. We don't have lots of time. He knows that about her. He was so understanding and loving. And he was understood our lives in the world and busyness. And we can all do these things he's saying. A little bit of Holy Scripture every day. Brothers and sisters, I visit your home sometimes, and I don't see the gospel around sometimes. Or if I do, I see it collecting dust on your shelf. Right? We're all guilty of that at some point in our lives. You know, we all need to love the New Testament especially. Old Testament, the Bible, but he said every day, have the Gospels next to your bed and read that Gospel every day. Just, if you just read one chapter, start with one chapter, it'll take you less than 5 minutes. Every day is a spiritual vitamin. Read the New Testament. I don't understand it, Father, it's boring. Read it and it'll stop being boring. A little bit, and that's what, you know what he said? He said, St. John Chrysostom says that the reading of a little scripture every day is a ladder to heaven. That's our goal again, right? It's the kingdom of heaven, not just going through the motions. So reading a little bit of scripture every day. Six, a little almsgiving from every family. So tithing to the church. It's the ancient Christian norm. So please, you should tithe to the church, right? LDS people do it, and they don't have the ancient faith like we do. They don't have priests and spiritual fathers and this whole spiritual hospital. Right? And they still do it, but they do it out of compulsion. We should do it out of love and sacrifice. So please, if you're not tithing to the church, do it not for me or for this, for your soul, for the key to the kingdom of heaven. And then, never overlook a person that needs your help. Never. Here's what he said. Give, give, give. He said, Christ will return to you 100-fold. Blessed, these are exact words of the elder Gabriel. Blessed are the hands of the merciful man. So much more blessed than the miser, the tightwad. So much more, he said. He said, once you are in the grave, brothers, you don't have pockets anymore from which to give alms. When we give alms as much as we can, do you know what happens, he said? I was in tears listening to this part. When we give alms and we give to the church and the poor, we give till it hurts and we sacrifice, he says, we fall into Christ's embrace. It's very beautiful. The giving person, who's not selfish and who does tithe, who does give, who gives time, money, sacrifice, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, who does this, they are constantly falling into the loving embrace of Christ. And that person has, in his words, they are tasting the bright paradise. That should accuse us all. We can all give. We're all so rich. Believe me, my kids saw real beggars for the first time. They saw gypsies who had nothing. They saw everything. Their eyes were open. They were thankful to be an American, to live in Utah. I was too. We're all so rich and can help so many people, and our salvation depends on it. 7, the final key to the kingdom. Live to glorify God. Don't live to be an accountant. Don't live to be a janitor. Don't live even to have fun. Those are all things we have to do. Live to glorify God and to love others. We all say, I do that. No, we don't. Our priorities get way off. Right? Our priorities get way off. And somehow loving Christ gets down here. And loving others gets down here. Yeah, I kind of love God. I go to church. But this passion, this school, work, they're important things, don't get me wrong, but they take the place of God and we get depressed and we lose Him. If we're living for this world, he said, we're separated from God, brothers and sisters. In the world, but not of the world. He says, do not fall too much in love with the world or the things in it. Godly joy comes from giving others joy. Let me repeat what he said. Godly joy, which we don't want worldly joy that fades away. Godly joy, which nothing can take from you. Prison camp can't take it. Death can't take godly joy. It comes from giving other people joy. These are the 7 keys to the kingdom of heaven given by Elder Gabriel. Let me just review them, and I'll send it out to everybody as well. Regular confession. Let's all do this, brothers and sisters, starting this week. You don't know how to confess? Meet with me, Father Paul and I. We'll teach you how to do it. We'll get you ready. It'll change your life. Regular confession. Being regular in the services. Let's start with Saturday night Vespers, big attendance for your soul, for each other. Sunday morning liturgy and the weekdays. We have the family night starting soon Wednesday night. We have the catechism class. Come, pour your heart into the services too, right? Praying the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Get a prayer up from the bookstore. Start praying the Jesus Prayer and ask for help from your spiritual father. 4, fasting according to the church. Wednesday and Friday and the great fasts. Do it, and you'll find joy. 5, just a little bit of the Holy Scriptures every day. 1 chapter at least, brothers. Keep that gospel close to you, next to your bed. The last one before you go to bed, 1 chapter at least of the gospels every day. 6, almsgiving from each family. Oh, I'm not poor. I'm too poor to give. We're all rich, brothers and sisters. The widow with all she gave, her mite was worth all she gave. She gave 100%, not 10%. Give. I want you all to tithe to this holy community, which is full of love. And I want you to give to the poor person, the person that asks, without worrying, oh, am I going to make it? God will take care of you. And 7, live not to glorify yourself and your career and all those things. We need careers, we need money, yes, don't live for that. Live to glorify Jesus Christ, the living God, and His church, and to love others. It's very simple, brothers and sisters. May we take these keys to the kingdom to our hearts, and more importantly, may we begin right now, not delay it tomorrow. Seize the day today and begin to implement these so all of us can begin to taste the kingdom of heaven. And most importantly, when our eyes shut to this world, we are welcomed into the embrace of Christ and everlasting joy, where there's no sickness, nor sorrow, nor sighing, but everlasting. From the prayers of the holy Elder Gabriel and all the monks of Mount Athos, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.